pledge.
Eric, you want to do this?
Please join me in saluting our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Eric. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Chair. Chair Shawbridge,
depart. Here.
Vice Chair Ashland.
I'm here.
Commissioner Wellborn.
Here.
Commissioner Hansen.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner Wigan.
Here.
We have quorum.
Thank you. Before we begin, I would like to let everyone know that we do have our two new commissioners with us tonight. We have Commissioner Jones, and we have Commissioner Wigan. If you'd like to introduce yourselves, we'll give you a moment. Go ahead.
Sure. My name is Hallie Jones. I'm really happy to be a part of this commission and do what I can to support the commission's good work. I'm an Orange County native, born and raised in Laguna Beach. Have worked in environmental conservation for 20 plus years. I'm going to be a little vague about that last number. I see it out there. Just really happy to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And my name is Eric Wigan. I was elected to the Newport City Council this last November. The two seats that are on of the seven are either coastal cities or inland cities, and the mayors of all of Orange County meet twice a year, and they choose these positions, and I applied. I turned out to be the only one who applied, so I was unanimous. But I'm really looking forward to this role. I've been an outdoor person. I lived in Newport Beach my entire life, so I've been on the beach my entire life. I've been in Back Bay my entire life, and I feel this would be a good fit for me, and I look forward to working with my fellow commissioners as well.
And the reason why I ran this campaign, so. At this time, I'm going to open public participation. If you are a member of the public and you would like to address this group, please fill out one of our documents. You're limited to 3 minutes. Remember, it has to be something in our jurisdiction in order for us to be able to take action on it. If it is an action item on the agenda, please hold your comment until it pops up on the agenda. Is there anyone wishing to speak?
I believe there's one request, Chair.
Okay, great. And do we have any correspondence?
No, we do not.
Here's a request.
Okay. Mr. Greg Stone.
Yes.
That's you.
You're
right. I just asked a question about you.
Okay.
And I got a positive answer.
Oh, good. Okay. Good. Thank you for the time tonight, commissioners. I just wanted to, bring up or at least explain a little bit about what OCMA, Orange County Modelers Association, has been doing over the last few months and what we've got planned for the coming months, other than just a regular occupancy of the flying field out there. We're doing a lot with education. That's our main focus, aviation-based, so we're working with aerospace companies, schools, middle schools, high schools, colleges. We just completed this last Saturday, actually running the two flight events for the Orange County Regional Science Olympiad that was held at UC Irvine. So we worked with the Department of Education. Our club actually runs two of the national events. So we actually ran those, had 32 high schools competing and 20 middle schools, all from Orange County. So just one of the things we do. We've also been hosting for the last 3 months out of the field, the UC Irvine Design Build Fly competition team. So we've been working on that. A couple of us will actually be going to the event in Tucson in a couple months. So we'll be there to support them there also. We also have setting up booths and spaces. If anybody's aware of the Imaginology event, that'll be at the Orange County Fairgrounds. We run a whole host of aviation activities and displays for the youth there for 2 days at that runs. So that's it. Thank you all for your time.
Question. Before you leave.
Yes.
So I happened to stop by the field back in September.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was the chairman of the County Airport Commission, as well as sitting on this committee. And I wasn't allowed in. there were some people there, they were flying, and I drove up and they walked over to me and said, this is a closed facility, you need to leave.
Interesting.
I just thought I'd let you know.
I appreciate that because we are an open facility.
I know you are.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will bring that up with the board and the membership. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Yep.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the commission at this time? Any other staff? Okay, I'll go ahead and close the public opportunities, and we'll now move on to our consent calendar. All items on the consent calendar be taken in one motion, unless anybody would like to pull something for discussion.
Seeing there are two new commissioners, would we be able to abstain from that vote? Or do you not have a quorum?
Yeah, we have four. We'd be okay, but you can go on anyway, just so you know. All right, is there a motion to accept the minutes as written?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from,
what was that?
A million years ago, November 3rd, 2022.
Do I have a second?
Yes.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Okay, would you please call roll?
Chair Schaubert?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yep.
Commissioner Wellborn?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Weigy?
I'll abstain.
Item passes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to item four. This is the discussion, item A. This will be Orange County Bird of Prey Center lease. Has anybody from the audience asked to bring this up or discuss it?
We have received no comments on this
item. Okay, thank you. Then I'll turn it over to Director and Pam.
Thank you very much. So for this item, we're going to have Joanne introduce it, and then we will be passing it off to Brian Kerner.
So this item, it relates to our Orange County Bird of Prey lease. We have an existing lease with the Bird of Prey Center in O'Neill Regional Park. That nonprofit organization does wonderful work. Their veterinarian is actually our head veterinarian over at our zoo, and so we have a lot of partnerships with that group. That organization is interested in modifying their lease to allow for additional improvements and fundraising functions to better the lease premises that they're currently on. So this item proposes a new lease to effectuate that. Excuse me. So Brian Kerner, our entitlements division manager, will walk you through the specifics of this transaction.
So good evening, commissioners. My name is Brian Kerner, as mentioned, and as Joanne mentioned as well, I'm the entitlement division manager here at Sea Parks. So I'm here to introduce the new proposed lease by the Bird of Prey Center of Orange County. The Bird of Prey Center is a nonprofit organization located in the northern region of O'Neill Regional Park, and their primary purpose that they were established for is essentially rehabilitating injured raptors, returning them to the wild, along with providing educational opportunities. Their current lease that they have with OC Parks was established on January 19, 2017 for a 10-year term. And that lease allowed for the ability to house 10 permanent non-releasable birds. The Bird of Prey Center also accommodates both essentially releasable and non-releasable birds. And the total number of birds does vary depending on how many releasable birds they have in addition to the 10 non-releasable. Their lease also provided for an amphitheater and a interpretive area, free educational programs to the public, medical care for the raptors, fundraising activities without any alcohol, and at a cost of $1 per year to accommodate their nonprofit status. The request that they have is to essentially replace their existing lease with a new one. The new lease would also be for a 10-year term from the date executed and provide for a one-time 10-year extension. The primary purpose for the establishment of the new lease is essentially to address fundraising challenges to meet their goals. Many nonprofit organizations during their establishment phase end up needing additional opportunities to fundraise, and that was one of the main reasons for this, in addition to improving site security and to reroute the primary access into the facility. The updated uses with the new lease essentially mirror what was in the original lease, but there's a couple additional items that are in there. They wanted to increase the number of birds, the non-releasable birds, from 10 to 15. They wanted to increase the funding opportunities essentially by allowing beer and wine at their fundraising activities. And I just also wanted to note that the fundraising that's done is all basically turned back around into the nonprofit. The other asks that were part of the lease are essentially providing 24/7 site security and to redefine the primary access to the site. It's currently off of Meadow Reach Bridge Drive, which is a residential community, and rerouting that to an existing entry off of Los Alisos Boulevard. The terms of the lease were also provided to the third district Board of Supervisors office, and they basically did not have any, we didn't receive any additional comments from them. As part of this here, we have Peggy Chase and folks here from the Bird of Prey Center who have joined us to provide additional information, and when they're complete, I'll go ahead and wrap up with the recommendations from staff, so let me get out of the way. All right, that's all you.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having us here tonight. I am Peggy Chase. I'm the executive director, and this is Dr. Scott Welby. He's chairman of our board, the founder of our facility. Just a couple of quick things about who we are that I don't think you covered. Our mission is to educate the public about these amazing creatures, as well as the component of rehabilitating them if they've been orphaned or injured, as well as release them back into the wild, which is really the best part. To do this, we have two part-time staff, a director of husbandry who works very closely with Scott for the care of the birds, as well as the training of our education ambassadors, and both the avian ones and the human ones. And also our director of administration handles all the paperwork that people don't like to volunteer to do. Along with that, we have over 50 volunteers. That includes me as executive director, all of our Saturday cleaners, our feeders, our educators and handlers. So it's a core of a volunteer group. And I don't know if you mentioned, when we talk about raptors, we're talking about owls, hawks, eagles, falcons, and vultures. All of those birds we've treated at some time in the history of our organization, though eagles are pretty rare. Sometimes we get birds in that are non-releasable, and those are the 10 that we talked about. They are our education ambassadors, so of course we had to bring two of them for you to see today. So this is Hank. Hank is a female red-tailed hawk. And then we also have our newest ambassador. This is Lulu, our Eurasian eagle owl. This bird you will have seen a number of times flying over the parks. This one you won't have. It's not a native bird to the area, but we could not pass up having this as an education bird. So if there's any, is there anything you wanted to add to that, Scott?
No, I just want to tell you that everything you guys have done so far has been well received and loved, and we've been since the 90s trying to get this place built up. And what Patty's done has been the driver of that bus, and she did a great job. And thank you guys for this opportunity.
We really do appreciate the relationship we have. And
yeah.
Apparently, we get to host you here in just a few weeks, so looking forward to having you all come out.
Was that a potential
visit?
Field trip that we'll talk about later?
Not tonight, but we could certainly consider that for a future.
Oh, okay.
Talk about the public education.
Absolutely. That's the part that's nearest to my heart, so thank you for asking. We reach about, last year was about 10,000 people in Orange County. We go out to schools, we do presentations at the parks, we do campfires, we come out to civic groups, and that's why we've trained these birds to come out, because you never get to see them this close. I mean, even if you're out hiking, you might get as close as 25 feet away from a red-tailed hawk, but we get to walk right up next to you, and you get to see them up close and personal. So we have all of our educators, our volunteers, and we go out to different schools. This is the year that we're really focusing. Hank is just going, I'm not quite sure about this place. This is the year that we're focusing on building our network back up. Like COVID affected everybody, we lost a lot of our contacts with school teachers. Mm-hmm. So we're building that back up this year. You want to do a flyby? There we go.
I think I should take a picture when you're surrounding our chair.
We'd love to just be right here. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, Dave.
Did you want to stand up so you can be next to them and see what they're doing to you?
We're in great air conditioning.
How much does that weigh?
6 pounds.
6 pounds.
So the golden eagle at the Orange County Zoo weighs 10.
10, yeah.
That bird weighs 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they look a lot heavier.
Yeah.
Of course, so do I. I'm only 140 pounds.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
wow. I look a lot heavier.
There, it's,
I was hunting on the Central Coast 20 years ago, and one of these came down and was came from behind me that way, about 5 feet off the ground, and his wing tip touched my hat and knocked my hat off, and I went, oh, that was an owl.
It was probably not this one. This is from Europe.
Okay.
But the great horned owls are great horned owls. Exactly like it, but they're a lot smaller.
Yeah.
And they hurt just as much when they hit you.
Yeah.
And if they're taking off your hat, you might have been a little too close to somebody's nest.
Yeah. They were warning you.
They're just saying, hey.
The same thing happens with mountain lions and bears.
Yeah. You run into them a lot.
How's the old bald eagle still hanging in there?
Billy?
Billy's still there.
Still hopping along.
Quite the chatterbox tonight.
Yes.
Wow.
If you want to get your picture taken with the American bald eagle, he doesn't go anywhere. It's perfect. Anyway, thank you for being here tonight.
You bet.
Thank
you.
Yeah, spectacular.
So both of these birds are current residents of the 10. They live in the facility. They're part of the 10. A 10 doesn't seem like that many, really, when you consider all the different birds that could be heard that you could tell. Oh, you're talking about forever.
Those are just the non-releasable birds. We have about 30, I want to say 35 others besides that on site right now. So when we make the decision, we meaning Scott, that a bird is ready to be an education bird, we do everything we can to get them well. And then once we determine they're non-releasable, if they're a species that can do this, then we can train them. And if we already, like we had two red-tailed hawks, so we would have the two red-tailed hawks, we might train a red-tailed hawk for another organization, like Inside the Outdoors.
Right.
I know you all know that they suffered that catastrophic loss, so we're training some birds for them right now. So we have great horned owls, but then there's some birds that don't do well in captivity, and so they, or at least as an education bird, so they wouldn't be able to be something that we could take out. It might be a display bird that you could have for a zoo.
So the 10, you're not keeping them for forever. You're finding homes for them that they can go and contribute elsewhere.
No, those 10 are our education
forever.
Birds.
So they're forevers?
Yeah. They're forevers.
Yeah.
So are you full right now?
Education birds?
For 10.
Well, we can put them in with wild birds, too. So we do have, like our great horned owl lives with the wild birds. We're training a great horned owl for Inside the Outdoors is with the wild birds right now. So we do have the ability to have, just for those who haven't seen the site, sorry, there's smaller enclosures for the permanent residents, but then we have the federally compliant, much larger flight views. So one of them's up, or three of them are up to 50 feet. Long.
Yeah. So then I don't understand the 10 that needs to go to 14 then.
So we can have smaller enclosures for more of these, yes.
And we also have working birds.
So we want to build four more enclosures.
Yeah, and so we have birds that are used in by field biologists that work in the county.
Oh.
They use them as trapping birds, and so those are birds that we don't use.
Okay, I'm sorry. So it's not 10 birds, it's 10 enclosures.
I think it was a total of 14 enclosures.
14.
What that allows us, so if we have, we don't necessarily have to use it just for our education birds. If we have a bird that doesn't need to be in the hospital but is not ready to get into a full flight enclosure, we can have them in the smaller enclosure. As
and you have enough room, obviously, to do the other enclosures.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, yeah.
What's that acreage?
Oh, I don't know how many
for this.
Brian, do you know what that is?
I
don't
know.
That's okay.
Yeah, just 4 or 5, something like that.
I want to say 5 something.
So if you wanted to build more than 14 enclosures, you have enough space where you could do that?
Part of the space is a hill, which is actually, there are two residents that live there. There's two red-tail hawks that have owned that territory. Not ours. There's an old reservoir, and that's what we want to turn into the amphitheater at some point. But then there is some more flat area that we can use.
Okay.
1.624 acres.
Yeah. That's
more
it.
Or less, but that seems pretty exact to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of tight.
Yeah, it's
for what you're doing.
Do you still have the Boy Scout Archer Ranch next door?
Yeah, right next door. And we have a great relationship with them. We do a lot of shared
parking. Sure.
So right now, if you guys have a fundraiser, you can't have alcohol. You gotta have alcohol at fundraisers. Right? I mean,
it does
you know,
tend to happen. We'll be
talking about the
service.
Give, the gift of, you know, like,
yeah, the silent options, how they give a little higher.
It also keeps the birds happy.
Yes.
And the new agreement allows for them to get the permit from Orange County Parks to serve alcohol, probably with a security guard or something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Any other questions?
Brian, you want to do the follow-up?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So they're on. This is on park property now. They're a tenant of ours.
Yes. Okay.
Just from an advocacy point of view, mm-hmm. it would have been a good idea to take us out there and let us see it before it showed up on our agenda.
Mm-hmm. We had a field trip here last year.
Yeah, I went. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
it was spectacular.
You should have been there.
I should have been there.
You should have been there.
I go to the field.
And it's not going to change my vote. I support this immensely. Yeah. But I can imagine that the wow factor.
Yes.
Would eliminate any doubt on anybody's mind.
I would agree with that. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, we had alcohol anyway, so it didn't make any difference.
Mr. Chair.
Well, that was why I'm sorry.
Any other? You want to wrap up then?
He represents the city next door to me.
Yes.
So I want to say thank you for basically our human and bird ambassadors here. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and identify what the recommendations are. So I recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve the lease with the Orange County Bird Upgrade Center.
That the commissioners recommend.
Yes.
That's right.
Thank you. That the commissioners recommend. And that the commissioners recommend that the Board of Supervisors approve the resolution to authorize alcoholic beverage service at Olina Regional Park pursuant to the terms of this lease with the Orange County Bird Prey Center. And that concludes the presentation, and we're here to answer any additional questions as well.
Any other questions? Okay, is there a motion? On both paper. Any second?
I'll second.
Okay, Eric got it. Call roll, please.
Yes. Chair Schauber?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yep.
Commissioner Wellborn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner White?
Yes.
Item passes.
Okay, thank you again. Okay, we'll move on to item B. This is the OC Parks Trail Subcommittee member appointments, chair appointments, commissioner and chair appointments, and meeting and trail use designated pilot project updates. Is there anyone from the public that wanted to speak on this?
We have received no request to speak on this item, Commissioner Chair.
Anything written?
Nothing written.
Okay, great. Okay. That being said, we'll close the public opportunity and move on to Director Casol.
Thank you very much, Chair. So for tonight's presentation, we have Planning and Design Manager Natalia Durbin.
Thank you. And this item has several recommended actions, so I will take each one individually. We'll go through it that way.
Okay.
So especially for our new members, so that you know, the Trail Subcommittee was created in 2016 as a subcommittee to this OC Parks Commission. The focus was on for public discussions on trails, a way that we can take all the trail issues that we have and items that are coming up and have it in a focus group in the subcommittee, Trail Subcommittee. We have seven members for the Trail Subcommittee. Two of them are commissioners, parks commissioners, and they serve as the chair and alternate chair. And then five are from the community. So we try to balance the various user groups on the trails, from hikers, equestrians, mountain bikers, and cyclists. We have two candidates who were selected by Chair Schauber and Commissioner Cruz for appointments. And our first is David Browning. He represents the mountain biking community. He's the founder of FinMTB and president of OCMTBA. So the first recommended action is to appoint David Browning as a member of the OC Parks Trail Subcommittee.
Is he here tonight? David, are you here?
So.
No? Okay.
Anyway, we spent a lot of time venting the candidates. We gave them all an opportunity. In fact, we actually went back and revisited all the resumes twice. And we also went with suggestions from staff participation. We tried to get some folks that had a broad spectrum of experience, but represented some of the areas that were void on the committee. So I think we're in pretty good shape. So that being said, can I have a motion to appoint David Browning?
I'll make the motion.
Go, Mike.
I'll make the motion to appoint David Browning to the...
Okay, second. Okay. Go ahead. Call roll.
Okay. As the recommended action one, Chair Schaubert?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Here.
Yes.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
Item passes.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to the appointment of Michael Schoeck.
Yes, so our second candidate is Michael Schoeck. He represents the hiking community. He's a member of several local hiking and trail running groups. So the second action is to appoint Michael Schoeck as a member of the OC Perks Trails Subcommittee.
Okay, discussion, questions?
Same thing, you worked hard at figuring this out. That was the same conversation for both of the folks here.
It took us maybe, what, 2 or 3 months, I think. Wow. About 3 months.
Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, I think part of the problem was is that we lost some folks off that particular committee.
Did Michael ever show up as a visitor to the Parks sub-meeting? They have visitors at that meeting? It's an open meeting, right?
I think when we opened up for candidates, most of the people that had applied introduced themselves. But that was a long time ago.
Okay.
Do we know whether Mike and the other gentleman see eye to eye on any issue?
I don't.
Mountain bikers and hikers don't often get along.
We do at the subcommittee meetings because I think that everyone values each other's opinions on that group.
Okay, yeah, just thought I'd check.
Well, and we don't want the department to have to close trails because of problems.
Actually, it's been quite cooperative.
Yep.
And very collaborative, especially when we did our study.
Good.
And I think having a selection of both bikers and trail runners and walkers or hikers, that's a good fit.
We have young, old.
One, both.
They have quite a variety. We're in good shape. Okay, that being said, is there a motion to accept the candidate? Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Call roll, please.
As the recommended action item number two, Chair Schaubert?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yep.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
Item passes.
Thank you. Okay, item three is to appoint current alternate chair David Schauer to be chair of OC Park Trail Subcommittee. Any questions or discussions? Okay, is there a motion?
Him?
I don't know.
Do you want to do it?
Well, I get a lot of extra money, so yeah. I get what I get for this. I get what you get for this.
Yeah.
Okay, by the way, he gets more money for doing this than you do.
Okay. Most everybody gets more money.
Actually, I don't get anything. I do. Nobody even pays for my gas from
Sam. So you have time? You want to do this again?
I'm on it anyway. I might as well be the chairman.
All right.
There you go.
10-4.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, I think, Mr. White guy, Dan is first, so if you would like to second it, please.
I'll be the seconder then.
Okay, great, roll call.
As to item, recommended action item three, Chair Schauer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yes.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
That item passes.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
The thing that's interesting is usually if you have a commission or a subcommittee, that subcommittee has an opportunity to have input on who they would like to have as the vice chair. So I like to hold off on this until we have our next trails committee.
We do need to name somebody from our commission to be on the trails subcommittee.
Oh, we don't have that. We're not talking because about just the appointment. We're talking about putting somebody on.
That is correct because John Coos is no longer.
You mean for an alternate chair?
Correct.
That's item four on this page two.
Correct.
Okay, so not only alternate chair, but we need to have somebody appointed to the committee to serve as a commissioner.
Is that fifth item?
Yep, same
item. Four. Item number four.
Number four is the same.
So four hits two things.
They get to be vice chair and a member.
It's really the same thing.
Okay.
It's the same person has the
dual role. Mm.
So I will remove myself from being a part of this as I have in the past because of being in the bicycle business. I don't need people to think that I'm going to sell a whole bunch of bikes by making decisions referencing the trails.
Okay, that being said, we only have two folks left that are on the committee, right? So either of you be interested in that position?
I have a conflict. I'm in the fun business.
I think you're going to get it by default.
I'll happily take on that mantle. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I try to be in the fun business, too. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to need a nomination, please.
Well, I nominate Commissioner Wellborn to be the alternate chair, or to be part of the subcommittee, as well as being the alternate chair.
Okay, and is there a second?
For the trail subcommittee.
And I'll second that.
Great, okay.
Thanks,
Dave. A roll call, please.
As to recommended action four, Chair Schaubert?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland?
Yep.
Commissioner Wellborn?
Sure.
Commissioner Hansen? Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
That motion passes.
And just to set the record straight, we should have probably closed nominations, but since we had nobody else nominated, I think we'll be okay. Wait, go ahead, Pam.
You did ask to, Commissioner Hansen, you did ask to be recused. Did you want to be recused from the vote as well?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah.
Put it in. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He's putting a fellow bike on. Leave him alone, please. Just kidding.
No, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting that bicycling isn't fun.
You better not.
Okay, good. At this time, we're going to receive and file updates on the fourth quarter 2022 OC Park Trail Subcommittee meeting and the Trail Use Designation Pilot Program.
That is correct.
Yahoo!
So the fourth quarter trail subcommittee meeting was held on December 12th, 2022. And just so you're aware that the trail subcommittee, they meet quarterly and not every month. The OC Parks Trail Use Designation Pilot Project Technical Report, minus the ecological report addendum, was presented to the trail subcommittee. More details about that report will be provided by Mike Wilson very soon. The recommended action was to determine if trail use designations can serve as a viable tool for OC Parks to consider in trail management decisions, and that item did pass unanimously as a viable tool. For the department updates, I announced Tom Starnes' retirement as Parks Director, acknowledged members Vanderhoff and Larson's service to the subcommittee, and provided an update on the progress of the East Ridge New Trail reroute in Peters Canyon Regional Park. So now I'll turn over to Mike to explain more about the pilot project report.
Thanks,
Excuse me, before we do that, was there any comments from the public? Any requests to speak or correspondence?
There is none.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Thanks, my name is Mike Wilson, the business manager here at OC Parks. Over the past year and a half, myself and a lot of the people you see sitting here and a lot of people you don't see, our rangers and other staff, have helped facilitate this pilot project with Utah State University. It's been a core focus of the trail subcommittee during this time period, with the idea actually originating from this very commission. The trail use designation pilot project was initiated in OC Parks in spring of 2021 with the overarching goal of evaluating whether changes to existing trail use and direction designations would improve user experience and alleviate some of the trail conflict that we hear about on the trails. The project was implemented on select trails at Elisenwood Wilderness Park, Laguna Coast Wilderness Park, and San Diego Oaks Regional Park. So for example, Peralta Hills Trail at San Diego Oaks Park, it's a multi-use trail, every user, equestrian, bicycles, hiking. So for the project, this trail was changed. The designation was changed the designated use has changed to just hikers and equestrians. So that would be an example of kind of how we changed the management on one of the trails. And researchers from Utah State conducted park visitor surveys and collected trail data, both pre and post study. And then actually on December 1st of 2021, at the 6 month mark, trail study during the project returned to their previous use designations. And the USU researchers analyzed the project data and compiled it into this final report. I actually have it right here. It's over 140 pages. And it was made available online to the public and brought to other groups such as the Coastal Greenbelt Authority and also to our various commission meetings for public comment. And the final report provided analysis and summary of the project's findings. And just to kind of go over the three takeaways from the study, our overall trail user conflict was reported at low levels among visitors who were surveyed. Surveyed visitors were overall supportive of OC Parks implementing trail management strategies, such as those implemented in this project study. And respondents reported that the signage and messaging was effective, so it's an effective tool to help manage trail use designations. And then, like as Natalia was saying, at the quarter four meeting, members discussed the final report, a robust discussion, and they voted that the report findings could serve as a valuable tool for management decisions in the future. So what does this all mean? Like, where do we go from here with this report and the findings? So there are no current plan changes to our trail use designations and management philosophies of our trails within OC Parks. However, the study can be used as supporting documentation for such things like future grant funding opportunities. And it's a tool. It's not just going to sit on the shelf, but rather be used as a resource in conjunction with others to guide future trail management strategies. For example, when opening up new trails, we can use this information from the study to consider implementation of some of the things we found that worked, such as some areas that I know that Joanne will announce, such as our Saddleback Wilderness area coming up this March. And with that, like I'm open for any questions.
Okay. E-bike. We've had a lot of people visit. Orange County's still sitting on the fence. Mm-hmm. A number of other areas opening up and letting e-bikes out. Is this a tool that could come in and guide Orange County parks and help them figure out if they're going to open up the trails for e-bikes?
That's a great question. Actually, this study didn't specifically look at e-bikes. It just looked more changing trail use.
But you called it, and that's changing trail use. So you talked about that as being a guide, not sitting on the shelf, being a tool to use.
So if we were to look in the future, like any overall changes or anything, like we would use this among all of our other resources that we have available. So it's just one of many tools.
So there wasn't any one particular thought at this point. We want to make hikers and bikers like each other. Flip to page 37. It doesn't do that.
It does not.
No, it doesn't do that. It gives us information mainly in terms of is changing trail use like a good idea? Is that something that actually works or doesn't work? Is there additional problems we see?
So could you find out if changing a trail to usage for e-bike trail would work? Is that something that we could ask?
So right now, that's not part of it. It was not part of this study.
I understand it's not part of the study. Going forward,
it is something that we could possibly look at in the future. It is not something that we could look at in our wilderness parks at this time because it's not allowed by county ordinance.
Right.
So currently, as you know, the county ordinance only allows class one and class two on our paved bikeways. And so we would not be allowed to do even a pilot project in our wilderness parks based on the current ordinance. There would need to be a change.
But one of the good things that came out of David was it does give an idea of bikes and hikers and equestrians. And
the getting really, along factor?
It gets into a very exclusive study of people's opinions, also our signage. And we found there weren't as many conflicts as everybody thought there was. We also found that everybody was very happy with our trails. We also found that we really didn't have to make a lot of changes because most people liked it the way it was. Like you said, this thing is something that we have as a reference. I would assume that if we ever come into a need to change the trail, or the use of a trail, or to adapt bikes with motors, this would be a great reference because we can parallel it with the study that we already have. Because whether a bike has a motor or doesn't have a motor, there's a lot of things that were studied with the bikes that we did that gave us an insight of what would work and what won't work.
Was this the study, too, where they made trails only go one way for a period of time? And what, did people like that in this study? Was there any summaries?
There is. This is a very thick document. So if you ever...
Did you read it?
Yeah, it's available online.
Yep.
In fact, if you'd like to get a copy, we can email it to you, and you can lose your leisure.
Can you please?
Yeah. In fact, it's not only available to us, but it's also available to the public.
Correct.
Yeah.
There is a page that was dedicated on our website that's just for the Trails Pilot Project.
Hey, I'm all done. Thank you.
And you know, a lot of times people say, well, what good's the studies? You spend a lot of money, it just sits on the shelf.
Yeah.
However, the information that we gathered from this was quite interesting because we found we're doing a lot of things right. And I think that's very important.
It is important.
If you're doing a lot of things wrong, then that makes the study even more valuable, but it gives you a peace of mind if you know you're doing it the right way. But I think in the future, as we make changes, as we expand, the document will be very helpful.
Mr. Chairman, if I can toss in a few words also. I really want to compliment the staff on moving that study and bringing everything forward. From my perspective, because I've been focused, even before I got on the commission, on safety and courtesy on the trails, that this is another good tool that our park system can utilize to deal with certain situations. Like, for instance, personally, I would never want to hike what's known, the trail known as the Luge in Whiting Ranch, because I know, and I've seen the pictures, it's a high-speed downhill mountain bike run. So it's not suitable for a lot of hikers, especially on weekends when we have our high-density use. On the other hand, there's a lot of great trails that I feel, even on a weekend, are tolerable because of so many people, but tolerable for me. And so I think we need these kind of tools to make decisions as issues come up. And no, there aren't that many issues, but they do come up. And I think I've regaled the commission before I got on board of, you know, having two friends involved in serious incidents. And that was pretty scary stuff. So it's worth having a good toolkit to address issues as they come along, whether it's specific trails or a number of them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, the cross-section people that we got to have input from was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
We reached out to everybody of all ages, uses, and so I think we got a good demographics for the study. That was where I enjoyed the best. And the people that were doing it were fresh off that area of expertise, so it's current. It's not something that's been done years ago. It's something that's relevant to the here and now.
Absolutely.
So I think that was also very good. And like I said, I think it was my well spent. Yes, go ahead.
Just to reiterate what Mike's saying, I really want to commend staff for your work on this and for making it so publicly available. I think it's a really important tool to be able to counterbalance some of the anecdotal stories that we all hear. Having that tool to reference and a document to show people that you're actually paying attention to what they're saying. Will it continue to be available on the website?
I don't know if it will be forever and ever. There's probably going to come a time where they're going to be laughing at us for what we did at this point, but.
Yeah. It's in perpetuity, but in like 7 years or something like that.
There's
an official definition.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Okay.
And with that, I'll close out item five or sub item number five of this item with recommended action. It'd be a receive and file updates on the fourth quarter 2022 OC Parks Trail Subcommittee meeting and Trail Use Designation Pilot Project.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Okay, go ahead and call roll.
Vice Chair Schauber?
Yes.
Chair Schauber, sorry. Yes. Vice Chair Ashland?
Yep.
Commissioner Wilborn?
Aye.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Wigan?
Yes.
Item passes.
And with that, I'd like to introduce our Deputy Director, Joanne Beard, who will provide the next update.
That's good. So moving right along, I guess. Item 4C on your agenda is related to your April field trip. The last meeting of every year. At the last meeting of every year, your commission selects your meeting dates for the following year, but included in that meeting dates document are three field trips every year. We like to use this as an opportunity to give you either insight on an item that might be coming up, or just general information about our parklands that we manage on site. So this first-hand experience is just a really good learning tool that we want to make sure we make available to you guys. So in April, we've got a couple of options for dates. We have Friday, April 14th, or Saturday, April 15th, in 2023. And we are also proposing one of three field trip location options. The first is Irvine Ranch Open Spaces Saddleback Wilderness Area. This area is currently closed to the public. We received this from the Irvine Company. Since our acquisition of the property, we have done biological monitoring and studies, assessments of the area, trail improvements, staging area improvements, just basically getting it ready for public use.
Where is Saddleback? Where is the Saddleback Wilderness?
It is in the East Orange County area, Irvine Ranch Open Spaces.
Okay. Part of the 2,000.
Part of the 2,500 acre second infusion of open space we received from Irvine Company. So this area is not going to be open to public access. It'll be a managed public access facility like many of the areas out there are, so which means there are scheduled dates that the public can come on. The reason we really want to share this with you guys is it's opening to the public officially April 1st.
Wow.
But because it's managed access, the opportunity for you guys will be to privately tour it as a group when it's just freshly open to the public. So highly recommend that one. Hoping to see some wildflower blooms while we're at
it. Is that being vehicles that we would be traveling, or are we hiking?
You have to be on a bike.
The area. I think we would figure out logistics if that's what you chose.
You need 10 bikes. Yeah.
It will be meeting at the site,
yes.
And then you can walk around or hike however you choose, but it's really being able to get to the site first by yourself, and then we'll be able to just view however far you want to go.
Cool.
So there is a hike that we can show you, but it's also just being at the parking, it's a beautiful view. And the higher up you go, the prettier the view. We will make sure that there's good weather whatever day you choose.
Oh, you'll make the weather good.
So that's part of what we do here.
And I'll recommend that when you've been up high, okay, and they take you down, and they say you can go down there and look. Remember, when you get down there to look,
you got
to
come back.
You got to come back up.
That is true.
Ellen, your predecessor thought I was going to die.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay, good.
So the recommendation I think that we discussed was to go on that particular program.
We could. I could also go through the other two options.
I think that's why we have some new folks.
Sounds good. So the second option is Salt Creek Beach, specifically Young's Beach Shack. This is a newly opened concession. Last year we took a tour to the beach and visited the facility. At that time the concession was closed. Since then there was a total remodel of the building. They just recently opened to the public. I believe it was February 21st of this year. So that is another option for you as well.
Who's the concessionaire?
It's the ranch.
Is that the ranch?
Yeah, okay. From across the
if
street.
I may. There was a wonderful article in the Register about this, and they never talked to Marissa about it. I don't believe there was any contact between the writer and Marissa O'Neill.
Yeah.
And it showed in the way that the story was presented to the public. I was disappointed.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So do we have a mountain hike or lunch at the beach? What do you guys want to do?
There's one more.
It's always in the morning, right?
So
we're not going to, we're not going to the beach thing and having a beer at 5 o'clock, right?
No, it will be in the morning.
Have a beer in the morning then?
If you so choose. The last option is Peters Canyon Regional Park. We do some habitat restoration there with some volunteers, and this is just an opportunity for you guys to see that activity happening, and we'll be providing some context and information about that as well. So, your recommended actions are, one, to select a field trip date, so that's the morning of Friday, April 14th, or the morning of Saturday, April 15th, and your second recommended action is to select a field trip location.
So, tax day must be the 17th this year, yes. Then, huh?
The Friday the 14th, the groundwater replenishment system is having its dedication. So most of the county will be there from Orange County Water District and the Orange County Sanitation District. I need to attend that thing on the board.
As would I.
Huh?
I'll be there.
Yeah, so I think it might be better for us to go on Saturday. Since we got rid of John, we don't have to worry about Tucker. We'll be okay. I'm just kidding.
Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, some of you guys are younger. You may have kids and grandkids. My daughter plays soccer, granddaughter plays soccer, so I better shut up.
We got volleyball at
my family. Anyway, what's the pleasure of this group?
I'll like Saturday, and I'll take option one on the, that would be my recommendation.
Okay.
Perfect. I concur.
David?
I don't know, I like the idea of having a breakfast burrito or something like that. So I would go for number two, and Saturday's good.
Thank you.
And I'm partial to the Saturday and the Saddleback Wilderness area.
Okay. Go ahead.
Saturday and Saddleback.
Okay. Okay, I don't have to vote. Thank you.
All right, can somebody bring a burrito for me then?
No, but what we will do is we'll look forward to going to that, because I would like to, I visited with you guys the first time through. I would like to go back and look at it, and then that way we'll get lunch.
After, yeah.
Sometime in the future.
Absolutely.
Okay. Would someone like to make the motion to choose the Saturday and the Saddleback?
I'll do it.
And then second.
There you go.
Or you want to, you made the motion.
Sure, I'll make the motion.
You'll make the motion and I'll second it.
All right, okay, switch that up. This is exciting.
That's for Saturday the 15th at the Wilderness Park.
And we will send you information on all of that.
How to find it.
Just drive along San Diego Canyon Road and just shout.
Well, we're on the subject of field trips. I would encourage you and your colleagues to take our two new commissioners out for a tour of the Irvine Ranch open space.
Oh, yeah.
I would get together with O'Connell, put him in the beast, and drive him around and show him what they're really responsible for.
A 3-hour tour.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, we could have that as an upcoming field trip.
Okay.
Not the April one, but we could do that later in the year.
Okay, that's fine.
I think the sooner
they get their feet muddy on Irvine Ranch, former Irvine Ranch land, the better.
Okay. So, Chair Schauer.
Yes.
Vice Chair Ashland.
Yep.
Commissioner Wilborn.
Yes.
Commissioner Hansen?
Yes.
Commissioner Jones?
Yes.
Commissioner Weigand?
Yes.
Item passes.
Woo-hoo. Okay, Director Pesso, would you please give us your report?
Okay, so we have some big things coming up. So on your, we have a gentleman in this room who is going to be retiring, who is basically an institution of OC Parks. John Ganaway, he could just wave. John Ganaway, he's been part of OC Parks for a very long time. He started as a young buck at Casper's. I think that was your first park, wasn't it?
O'Neill Park.
See, I'm terrible. But he's worked in a ton of positions at OC Parks: a park attendant, park ranger, senior park ranger, supervising park ranger, and parks division manager. And through that, there's also been a lot of different title changes, but those are the basic positions. And he's worked at the following places: Craig Regional Park, O'Neill Regional Park. He opened Whiting Ranch Wilderness Park. So before it was open to the public, he was the first ranger that worked there. Casper's Wilderness Park, Irvine Regional Park, and now he is stationed here at headquarters. He's basically, if you ask John anything about OC Parks and the history of OC Parks, he either knows it or he knows where to find out about it. And he is going to be sorely missed. He's going to be leaving, and how many days now?
21
days. It's the worst decision ever. That is correct. So, you know, he's just a treasure of OC Parks, and I personally will miss him dearly. He still will be living in the area. He lives in Majeska Canyon. You can go to his house anytime. I think that's what you said, right? And so I just wanted to make sure that you all knew that and thank him for everything that he's done for us.
With his departure and Bill's departure last year, do we have any institutional memory left?
That's it. It's gone. Yeah. Okay.
If you'd like to come up and say a few words, we'd love to hear from you.
Okay. All right, John. Well, thank you, Pam. I really appreciate that. No, it's been an honor. I feel blessed and privileged to be with this organization as long as I have been. And one thing that I've always said to everyone is it's the people that makes this place such a great place. I mean, yes, it is such a wonderful place to be able to go out and go to our parks and enjoy it. But what really makes it special is everybody here. This whole organization has just been fantastic for me to grow up in, and I just feel so lucky and privileged to be a part of it. So I thank you all.
Thank you.
Just make sure he gets his lifetime free pass.
am I allowed to comment on
sure.
You're retiring, John. I mean, from the outside, your steady leadership and just deep, deep knowledge. And I mean, everyone I know has been mentored by you and has, you know, can look to you for just really, really steady leadership. I admire that about you, and I think we're all sad to see you go.
Thank you.
But we're happy for you, too.
Yes.
A lot of hiking.
A lot of hiking.
Right. And anybody who's ever gone on a hike with John, he will kill you.
I know.
He tried to do it with me when I first started. It was like, oh, my goodness. I thought I was in really good shape. I'm a runner. No. I was wrong. So some more announcements. So with Tom retiring, I'm the interim parks director. So that position just closed, and so I did apply. I just wanted to let you know. So we'll see what happens, but I'll keep you all posted.
I'm sorry. We need yourself.
What was that?
So I am the interim parks director. So I did apply. So we'll see what happens.
Okay, but the window to apply,
it's closed.
The choices, that just closed.
Right.
That
the interstellar search is over.
Yeah. The search is over, but the process is still ongoing because it is the county.
It's glacial.
Who's the team that works on that?
Yeah,
not,
go ahead.
Not me.
Yeah, like is the team here at Orange County Parks? Or is it
in
It's community resources.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right.
And just a little influence from the Board of Supes.
It's a former chair of Orange County Waste and Recycling.
That is correct.
Well, good luck, Pam.
Yep. Thank you.
Thanks for raising your hand. You're
absolutely
a nice person.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate your support. So with me moving up temporarily, we do have an interim operations director. That's Richard Fink. He's been with us for about 9 months now. His position before that was the Parks Division Manager. And with him stepping into that role, we have Griselda Castillo, who is filling in for that position. So we have a lot of interim positions right now, but once some things get set, then we'll be able to start putting people in permanently.
Have you had a chance to sit down with John and ask him what you're supposed to know?
He told me on my first day. So I did. So some other fun stuff, Miles Square Regional Park, we did have a field trip there last year, mm-hmm. looking at the expansion. So we are converting the golf course over to a park over in that area. And right now it is, the expansion area construction is about 84.5% complete. That's for the first phase. We are estimating to be done with that this summer, late summer, which is very exciting. And then we also we're working with OCE Public Works right now to work on the second phase. Mm-hmm. So it's a continual fun thing. So if you want to know more about that project, we have a lot of information on it. It's very exciting. I went to elementary school in Fountain Valley, so that was my part for a long time. Tet Festival was at Miles Square Park just most recently. Now it's March, isn't it? In January, it was again record attendance, and it was fabulous. It was a 3-day event, and we had quite a few people there to celebrate Lunar New Year. Irvine Lake Recreational Opportunities and Expanded Use. Mm-hmm. So we brought to you recently with real estate, talking about what we're doing with Irvine Lake and the recreational opportunities. That is going to be going to the board soon. We finally have the RFP. So for those of you that don't really know the history, I'm just going to give you a quick history on this one. In 2019, the Irvine Company deeded the recreational parcel to the county to facilitate shoreline fishing. So as you may or may not know, we do have fishing that is available right now on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I believe, when the weather permits. We've had some weather lately. In 2022, the Irvine Company provided the county at 75% recreational rights over the lake to further enhance the recreational opportunities. We brought this to the commission at the February 3rd, 2022 meeting, so it's been about a year. Since then, we've been working diligently with the two different water districts. It's the Serrano Water District and Irvine Ranch Water District to be able to develop the RFP. So that is done, finally. And we just had a public fishing derby in December of last month. We had about 500 attendees. And then the total acreage of the proposed lease premises is going to be approximately 118 acres. So once we receive proposals and we start having an idea of what's going to happen there, we'll be bringing that information to you so we can keep you up to date. But it's obviously very complicated, where usually if it's just us, it's pretty simple. But because we do have the two water districts, it's a little bit more complicated. But I think this is going to be really
good. How did it go with the lake for filling up here over the past 30 days?
It's been fantastic. We just need to do that on a regular basis, and then we'll never have to talk about filling that again.
But it's really full.
It is fantastic, yeah. When we had talked about this when we brought it in a year ago,
some docks you couldn't run a boat or something.
It was so dry, and even in December, it was still pretty low, and now it's good.
Are they going to allow vehicles to drive around the lake to get from the parking lot to where you want to fish?
Not right now.
Okay.
Right now we do not have the ability to do that.
I understand.
Yeah.
Are we going to have boats that are going to be able to take you to wherever you want to fish?
It depends. And the reason I say this is that in the RFP, it does have the ability for the concessionaire to be able to have boats. But it depends on who proposes and what they're proposing.
Can I take my boat?
You will not be able to.
Okay. I represented the concessionaires from 1980 until 95, when they were a tenant of the Irvine Company. And Irvine Lake was once 500 to 1,000 fishermen a day.
Mm-hmm.
You could take your boat out, you know, so on and so forth. It was a wonderful fishing location here in Orange County. And I think every avid angler has looked forward to the day when they would get that back. And I think we should try and make it as much of an angler's paradise as possible. They do spend money. Okay. The sticky wicket was that the concessionaire at the time decided they wanted to have drag boat racing at Irvine Lake. No, it wasn't a bad venue if you followed the rules.
Okay.
But the race organizers sometimes didn't, and there was an accident and killed somebody.
Right.
I was there watching the race when it happened, and I said, "This is going to change the way this resource is managed from this day forward," and it changed everything. We have an opportunity to change it back without the powerboat racing. And I hope we do it well. Okay? That's my thought.
I hope we do it well as well.
I had a chance to talk to Pam about this earlier this month.
Okay.
And I asked her that we agendize it so for discussion so that we as a group can talk about it.
Yeah.
I think that would be very good.
Sure.
One of the big catch-alls is the water districts.
No kidding.
One of the water districts is not doing as well as the other water district. And it's my hope that Irvine Ranch somehow takes over the whole thing.
Here, here.
If we're able to do that, then we may be able to get more water on a steady basis that we would be able to use. Remember, there's a reservoir.
There's a direct pipeline to Lake Matthews.
Yep.
I know, but we really came into heavy discussion tonight, but it is on the agenda.
Okay.
It's one of the things foremost because I used to fish there with our Boy Scouts.
Okay.
And it's a great, everything you said is right. So it's our responsibility to advise the county board supervisors, and I'm sure we'll be able to do that. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So then also on the agenda, we have some upcoming events. And I just wanted to let you know that the first item on there, we actually had to cancel due to the conditions at Black Star.
Yeah.
So don't go there this Saturday.
Don't go there.
The third item here I did want to highlight, it's the Ducks Day at the OC Zoo. And for those of you that haven't been to the large mammal exhibit at the OC Zoo, I highly recommend it. We have Ziggy the Jaguar, and now we have Mickey the Jaguar.
Oh,
which I don't think any of you have
No,
seen.
No.
And so Ziggy the Jaguar and Mickey the Jaguar are brothers. Ziggy is the older brother.
We got this from Arizona, is that
correct?
Right?
Yeah.
And Ziggy looks like a Black Panther from what you would think, even though Black Panther is not real.
If you look at him in light just right, you can't see.
Then you can see his modeling.
Yes.
But Mickey looks more has the typical Jaguar colorings and markings, so he's got the beautiful colors on the spots.
Yeah.
So it's a nice contrast. Ziggy is an atypical Jaguar where he just really loves people and is excited and thinks we're all friends. Don't let him fool you, he'll eat you. But he's protected from us. But Mickey is more of a typical Jaguar where he really is a little bit more skittish of people. Mm-hmm. So it has been a much slower acclimation to the community and people. But it's very exciting. But anyhow, I digress. This Saturday we have the Ducks Day, which is the Anaheim Ducks. So we do have a player that is going to be coming.
Cool.
It is Emerson Edom. He was a right winger for the Ducks from 2010 to 2015, and also in 2016 to 2017. So he's going to be there to be able to sign autographs and things. And then we also have their mascot, Wildwing. So, just a fun day. And if you're wearing any of your Ducks gear, you get it free. So you get to save $2.
Wow.
In case you're wondering, it's only $2 to you. So those are the two big things that I really wanted to make sure that I let you know about. And with that concludes my report.
Okay. Any other questions for the staff at this point? Okay. At this time, I think, is there any items that you would like to have for a future agenda items? I did have a chance to talk to staff. As you know, we hold all our meetings here in South Counties. I thought maybe once a year that we might take a look at the board's interest in hosting a meeting on the north end of the county. so we can give all the inland cities an opportunity to, besides coastal, but the inland cities a chance to see what we do, maybe have some kind of an event, bring them in, get a chance to meet our staff, meet us, and let them know a little bit about the park programs. I think that would be a great idea. And I've offered Stanton Central Park, which holds up, it's 11 acres. It's got really nice facilities. So if it's something that we could put on an agenda, I'd like to discuss it. Okay?
Sure.
Anything else? Okay, everybody have a word for
me? Excuse me. Okay, Commissioner comments.
I just asked you.
No. I missed that. Okay. I'm sorry. Earlier this past month, I had an opportunity. I was asked to speak to a group in Newport Beach, the Daughters of the American Revolution. And Pam, you and your staff were nice enough to help me out with some PowerPoint presentation materials and handouts and so on and so forth. 49 minutes of presentation, including about 15 minutes of questions. It was a delightful exercise. Everybody was very impressed with the operation.
Good to hear.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I'd like to thank our two new commissioners for raising their hand and joining us. And hopefully you'll look real sharp tonight. Thank you for contributing. It's nice to meet you. So welcome.
We hope you still feel the same in a few months.
Yeah, we're going to talk when you're back. Yeah,
I'm used to that.
It actually made me think about it, 15 seconds. When I came on board, the person before me, I think, had had a problem. And I was actually made to go to dinner and was vetted at dinner, right? Do you remember that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and how are you just letting them have a walk? They're just strolling in here, they're hanging out?
They didn't even know it, We just showed up.
Right. We just grabbed it and ran.
I mean, the county selection committee didn't approach me and say, it just thrown on us. And Katrina didn't call me. And
it's a nice meeting.
Nice meeting you.
All right, thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Tonight I'm going to join the meeting in honor of John. And so, John, you'll get a copy of the agenda and also a certificate with your name on it that we remembered your service to this organization and wishing you the very best on your retirement. Good night, everyone.
Okay.
Try to get a nice one.